Support for Midwest Swing is brought to you by baseball.
The Zone Coverage Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Chris Jimenez, and you're listening to Midwest Swing on the Zone Coverage Podcast Network.
You can put it on the board!
Woo!
What up, everybody? It's Midwest Swing, part of the Zone Coverage Podcast Network. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Swing Pod. And Zone Coverage is on there at Zone Coverage MN. I am your host, Brandon Warren. You can find me on Twitter at Brandon underscore Warren. Coming at you on a frigid February 1st day, we are going to break down the hot stove, or in this case, the not so hot stove, as we're getting ready to send pitchers and catchers off to spring training here in a couple weeks. We'll talk a little bit about the Twins offseason, not only the moves that they've already made, but more specifically, what moves they can still make here as they get ready to kind of round into form moving forward into the 2018 season. It's obviously going to be a very fun and exciting 2018 season, coming off a very good year for the Twins. 85 wins, wild card game, heartbreak in New York City, but let's see if they can move forward. Today's guest is someone you've seen on the show before. You can find him on Twitter at 2__Canes. That's C-A-N-E-Z. It's my man, Ryan Turnquist. Dude, what's up?
How you doing, man? It's I'm trying to stay warm on this very, very frigid, cold day. Almost as cold as the proverbial hot stove in baseball.
Yeah,
it's frozen.
It's been a pretty rough go. We are going to break down some of the free agents who are left and where we think they'll land based on the intel that we have to this point. I have the guys that I have listed, and we'll look at them after we talk about the Twins, but I have the top 31 prospects on MLB trade rumors. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So 15 of the top 31 free agents, according to MLB trade rumors, have not signed yet. We've got some pitchers, hitters, relievers, a little bit of everything. So before we get to that, though, Ryan, I do want to get down to brass tacks as far as pitching and the Twins and the offseason are concerned. And I'm sure you and I both see at least one of these players left out on the free agent market as a fit for the Twins. But so far, you know, I think since we've last talked about this, the Twins signed Addison Reed to a 2-year deal. If you look at the MLB trade rumors projections, I believe they had him getting 4 years and $36 million. Twins got him for about half of both of those. What was your takeaway from that signing, and did it surprise you when it was announced?
Well, first of all, I was absolutely shocked.
Yeah. First ever multi-year deal for a twin reliever from the Twins. Twin side of things as far as an outside contract. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Exactly, which is crazy. And not only that, but early on in the winter, there was a night where I thought Addison Reed was gone. I think they had reported a deal with the Phillies, and then it turned out that it was Tommy Hunter, not Addison Reed.
Oh, yeah, and I think they took the same amount of money, didn't he, or something similar to that?
Yeah, something similar to that, but it was originally reported by somebody as Reed. I don't know. I think it might have been Buster, and then it was walked back.
Yeah.
And then it was Tommy Hunter. Addison Reed, he was never really one of the guys, I guess, on my radar, just because I figured once Neshek was gone, once McGee had gotten signed, and we signed Rodney, that we weren't going to give out a multi-year deal.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, Addison Reed just kind of, for all intents and purposes, falls into our lap.
Yeah.
And so I was shocked and very, very pleasantly surprised. So I'm a big fan of that move. And like you said, got the MLB trade rumors projections pulled up right here, roughly half of what they had originally thought.
And not only that, but now he's good at insurance not only for Fernando Rodney, who 300 career saves, but Father Time is undefeated, but also in the late innings with Trevor Hildenberger and, you know, whether Ryan Pressly figures it out, Taylor Rogers against lefties, Zach Duke, if he can get back to where he was. You don't have to squint too hard to look at this bullpen and think that it could be okay if all things kind of go to plan.
It suddenly looks a lot better, doesn't it? And right. with Fernando Rodney, they say he's still going to close. Kind of see Reed, assuming all goes hopefully well with Rodney, kind of see Reed as that Andrew Miller bullpen weapon that you can use him really at any point during the game. Now, I'm not saying Addison Reed is Andrew Miller by any means, but in terms of the role he would play in the bullpen, I think it's not hard to see the Twins envisioning something like that.
Well, and there's a very real possibility based on guys who have options and who don't that someone will be on the outside looking in that is probably a worthwhile bullpen addition, whether it's Alan Buznitz, especially if they keep Tyler Kinley, the Rule 5 guy. In, you know, Buznitz had a sub-2 ERA last year. FIP doesn't love him as much, and outside of the fastball, the breaking ball didn't have a great swinging strike rate. But for me, as I wrote in The Athletic here a couple days ago, when you basically you displace bullpen innings like you do water, when you know you put your body in the tub and everything moves, if you can eliminate the 50 innings that Craig Breslow and Michael Tonkin threw last year at an ERA of 5.10 or whatever it was, honestly, that's a huge increase. That's a huge improvement. Now, that too means that you're stemming the tide against any possible regression from Buznitz if he doesn't strike more guys out. Because a fly ball guy with that kind of fastball, you know, a few more balls leave the yard and suddenly you turn a 2 ERA into a 5 ERA. So I like how they've insulated themselves with guys who can slot into different roles. If they need a closer, and let's say Rodney hadn't panned out and they hadn't signed Reed, you're looking at Trevor Hildenberger. There's little doubt in my mind Hildenberger could do that, but then who's your eighth inning guy? I mean, is it Ryan Pressly? He was a disaster last year. I mean, good peripherals, but too many homers. And Buznitz, again, there's still questions about if he can throw anything other than a fastball. John Curtis, I'm excited about John Curtis' future, but I'm not sure about his present. And so, you know, JT Chagua, the kind of guy we've kind of forgotten about because he didn't pitch last year. You know, you got a lot of question marks, and when you can shoehorn or herd those question marks into as few roster spots as possible, I think people sleep on how that predictability is valuable.
Oh, absolutely. And it's one of those things where, Addison Reed instantly, depending on what you think of Trevor Hildenberger, I'm really high on him, but Addison Reed instantly becomes the best reliever and most proven reliever in terms of what they've done in their careers in that bullpen. So that in and of itself is exciting. And when you talk about the fact that Alan Buznitz, a guy who was pretty darn good last year, being the odd man out, it's a good spot to be in.
So there are four starting pitchers that could all help a lot of teams. Twins, no exception. And I believe they are all, they're all four in the free agents that we're going to look at today. There's even a couple other pitchers that will sneak in on the back end as well. I think the consensus, I know the consensus is that Yu Darvish is the prize of this free agent market. And I speak now or forever hold your peace if you disagree. But if you assume the Twins miss out on Yu Darvish, and that's not that far-fetched of a proposition, how do you power rank the next three between Arrieta, Cobb, and Lynn if you're Derek Falvey and or Thad LaVine?
Well, unfortunately, I'm neither of those people.
Yeah, me neither. I hear you.
But I would rank it as Cobb 2. I quite like Cobb. Lynn 3 and Arrieta 4.
No, wait. Is that by fit for the Twins or by caliber of how they're going to pitch in the future?
No. Fit for the Twins. Okay. Just Arrieta's 4 because I'm assuming he'll command more than the other two.
MLB Trade Rumors has 4 years, $100 million.
Hard pass.
Yeah, you got guys like Cobb and Lynn who are around half that. If I can pay those guys half that, yeah, that's an easy power ranking of Arrieta 4 for me as well.
If we're ranking predicative on how they'll pitch in the future, I think Arrieta is still 2, even though I think his his fastball velocity slipped a little bit. But age-wise, the same guy he was 2 years ago.
Yeah, age-wise, he's not that much older. I think he turns 32 this year, but I don't think it's soon, if it's June maybe. And Lynn, and I think Cobb is, what, 29, and Lynn is 30 or something like that, or 31. I mean, it's not like one of these guys is 35 and everyone else is 28. So,
right.
And there's not a lot of miles on his arm either with how he was brought up in Baltimore and you know, really struggled there. So it's – I was on another podcast earlier today, Fantasy Pros, check it out. You know, it's possible that maybe Arrieta was just a blip on the radar and could bounce back. It's not impossible.
No, it's not. And his track record is markedly better and more dominant than that of Cobb or Lynn, which is why he's going to get paid more money, right? So all things being equal, I'd have Arrieta ahead of the two. But given the contracts they're likely to receive or how I would think the market's going to value them, I would have Cobb, then Lynn, then Arrieta, just because giving the prospect of giving Jake Arrieta $20-plus million a year as opposed to maybe 14 or 15 for a Cobb or a Lynn gives me pause.
Okay. Well, if you look at the bullpen, is there any incentive for you to add any more arms, or are you done with the bullpen if you're in charge?
I mean, I think I'm about done. I think I feel pretty good.
Okay, what if Matt
with
Belisle,
where they're at?
What if Matt Belisle would sign for 1 year and $2 million? Are you in on that or not?
And brings his veteran presence under the tree?
I guess,
I mean, it's certainly not prohibitive, so I don't see why you couldn't do that. I would probably pass on it, but I would understand if they'd want to go that route.
Okay, so what about a minor league deal where they could give him the 40-man spot for Pineda when he gets put on the 60? I mean, is that still a pass for you?
No, I mean, I don't dislike Matt Belisle. I'll take him for that. I just I'd give him a minor league deal. I guess I wouldn't want to guarantee him a major league deal with all the bullpen arms you mentioned.
Okay, but I mean, so if there's – I don't have the list in front of me. I'm just wondering if there's any specific relievers on the trade rumors list where you're like, yeah, you know, I'm making room for this guy. I mean, Greg Holland is obviously not coming to Minnesota. But if you look at – let's see. I got the list up here. We got relievers. I'm just going to kind of spitball with names. Tyler Clippard.
Nope.
Bud Norris.
Nope.
Sergio Romo.
Nope.
Trevor Rosenthal.
I wouldn't guarantee him a major league deal by any means, but he's an interesting.
Drew Storen?
Same boat as Rosenthal. Interesting minor league flyer guy.
A couple of guys I would look at on minor league deals here. Shea Simmons.
Yep.
And
sure.
Houston Street.
Yep.
Both have to be minor league deals, though.
Yeah, nothing on the major league side.
Okay, how about for lefties? I'm not making room for Tony Watson, Oliver Perez, Fernando Abad, not particularly interested. How about Francisco Liriano?
he's actually my favorite twin of all time,
that's
so I'm biased.
I knew I was getting into your comfort zone there. For me,
that's
Liriano out of the bullpen is a long man. I can't quit that idea. And I'd keep him as a long guy over Tyler Kinley probably, although I haven't looked at Kinley's I got my Alexis talking to me here. I haven't seen Tyler Kinley's numbers. I'm going to pull those up here for he was killing it down in let's see, what was it? Down in winter ball. So let's pull those numbers up here. Tyler Kinley in winter ball with Lycee. Don't have game logs, and I know he had pitched up until the point where the winter meetings where he'd pitched like 16 innings or something. So the season's over. One earned run, five hits in 19 innings. That's a 0.47 ERA, 32 strikeouts and 11 walks. 11 walks in 19 innings. It's just hard for me to imagine that's going to stick. That's the kind of guy I'd swing a deal for. You know, if I had a Nico Goodrum in my farm system still and could make room, you know, for Kinley and AAA and try iron out some of these command kinks, because his command issues have been much more pronounced at the higher levels. I don't think Kinley's going to stick, though, if I'm being perfectly honest. So I want Liriano over him.
Yeah, I would too. I honestly think the Reed signing probably hurt Kinley the most. Obviously, with the Rule 5 pick, he has to find a way to stick on the major league roster all year, or get DL'd at some point to sticking in the organization. And I don't know if I see it. His track record, outside of his stellar winter ball stint here this winter, his track record says he can't throw strikes.
What about Matt Belisle with Tyler Duffy as your long guy, and then you move Belisle into like the sixth inning role? I mean, are you thinking about something? I'm not trying to bang the drum for Matt Belisle. I don't have anything for or against Belisle, but you know, instead of having a major closer, if he's your sixth best reliever, that's a pretty good bullpen.
Yeah, but are you going to sign Belisle for $2 or $3 billion at the expense of a roster spot for Buznitz or Shagua or one of those other guys?
Curtis,
I don't know that I would.
John Curtis, to be honest with you, after digging into his numbers, but
yeah,
but those guys no matter what. If you can sign them to a minor league deal, use the Pineda roster spot, and give Belisle a month, you know, give him the Tim Stauffer treatment. I don't know. I mean, it's going to come down to sequencing. Does he have another April of last year? Or does he have another August of last year? And if he has an August, you keep him around longer. If he has an April, you get rid of him. But I know I was one of the people thinking, man, this Belisle guy doesn't have anything left on June 1st last year. And I suspect you were,
right,
too.
I was. He certainly proved me wrong. I'm fine. I'm fine with bringing him back on that minor league deal and giving him the Pineda's 40 man spot.
Okay.
And getting him to try to win a roster spot. But I certainly wouldn't guarantee him major league money.
Would you rather get a bat for that spot? I know Chris Jimenez might have been the idea, but I mean, let's say Mike Napoli takes a minor league deal and $3 million when he makes the roster. Are you looking for a guy like that? Or
I would aiming. I would rather have Napoli than Belisle.
Yeah, I can see that too. I mean, Napoli's going to have a better clubhouse persona, I think. You know, he's almost like the second generation of the cowboy up Boston Red Sox that won the World Series back in 2004. You're a little bit younger than I am, but 2004 was my first year of college, so I definitely remember that very, very vividly. But I don't know. I think Napoli would be a pretty good fit for this team. If you don't get Napoli, are you done with this offense, or are you still looking at free agents as far as you know, improving this offense?
First of all, I won't tell you how old I was in 2004. I hate to do that to you. Secondly, as far as the offense, there's two names that I would still keep an eye out on or for. And to see if we can get them at sort of a bargain price.
I know you're gonna steal one of them that I've been talking about today.
I think. Well, we've both been talking about them. I think you've talked about both of them. Is what I'm trying to say. I think you've talked about both of them. Most recently, Eduardo Nunez.
Yeah, makes tons of sense.
It makes tons of sense, especially with the uncertainty surrounding Miguel Sano's situation.
So let's say 2 years and $15 million. How quickly do you run to get that signed?
I don't run very fast, but I would try to get it there quickly.
Hypothetically,
yeah.
For people who don't know about you, hypothetically, how fast?
Hypothetically, how fast? High school 100-meter champion fast.
C.J. Hamm fast? Are we talking who's the wide receiver guy that you know? I forgot his name.
C.J. Hamm. I don't want to get in a fight between who's faster between CJ and Brandon.
Yeah.
My buddy Brandon Zelster just signed a features deal with the Vikes, so I don't want to get in a fight between who's faster between those two. Somewhere in between those two speedsters.
But you're pretty excited about that concept, and for me,
yes,
it locks you in for, you know, Robbie Grossman DH, which I don't love, but I don't hate, and it doesn't lock you in for Robbie Grossman DH every single day. What it does is allows Nunez to play third for however long Sano has to sit out, whether he's injured, suspended, whatever. And then it allows you know, a backup guy to play second, third, short. You can cycle some guys through the DH for maintenance days as far as, you know, Dozier not needing to play 155 games at second base if you don't want him to. You still have backup help in Eduardo Escobar. Excellent, wonderful utility player, but a little stretched as a regular. A-Ray Adrianza is everything they wanted Danny Santana to be, perfect 25th man for a good ball club. And then beyond that, I don't think you really need a backup outfielder if your DH is Robbie Grossman, who can play the outfield. Mitch Garver's your backup catcher. He can play the corner outfield spots. Adrianza played some outfield. We've seen Escobar out in the outfield a little bit. We've seen Nunez in the outfield a little bit. You would have nine guys or seven guys, whatever it is on your roster, that have played some outfield. And again, this is just in a pinch. It's the sixth inning, and you can't get Zach Granite there until the next day if somebody goes down. Let's say Eddie Rosario, you know, breaks his hand or something. You're only trying to patch one game. You can get Zach Granite to town pretty quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. So I think we talked about this not too long ago. Eduardo Nunez makes all the sense in the world for the Twins. Now, what's going to happen with him? The other one is Logan Morrison. I don't think it's likely at all, or even remotely possible. He's just the other name that I would be monitoring to see if you would get him on a cheaper deal than you would think, because I love the bat.
At this point, he's probably looking at Yonder Alonso signed, 2 years and $18 million with Cleveland. They had very similar seasons last year in terms of batted ball, dispersal. I don't know how you would want to put that, but guys that lifted the ball, took walks, struck out a little more, but sold out for power and it worked. I don't think that Lomo can stake a claim to an identical contract at this point in the offseason, because I just don't think anybody's handing out a 2-year, $18 million deal for that kind of bat right now. To that end, it makes sense for the Twins to lock that down as insurance for Mauer at first base, a DH bat, and the like. He, too, can play in the outfield in a pinch as well. What about Lucas Duda? Any interest there for you?
Yeah. I think he's actually pretty good.
Can't hit lefties, and I mean, that sucks, but at the end of the day, the Twins were...
need him to.
Well, they were pretty average against lefties last year anyway, and that's considering Max Kepler didn't hit lefties. You know, Dozier hits lefties, Sano hits lefties, Escobar hits lefties. Everybody thinks their team can't hit lefties, has a terrible third base coach. You know, it's just one of those things. Can't hit soft tossers, can't hit guys who make their first big league start. You know, it's kind of that inferiority complex that a lot of fans have. But honestly, the Twins were pretty much league average against left-handed pitching last year.
Well, if you sign Lucas Duda, you're not going to ask him to hit against lefties. You're going to DH Robbie Grossman against a left-hander. So I think you'd be fine in that scenario. I like Duda. It's probably, a one-year, $3-4 million. I mean, it can't be that much, right?
Well,
and he's got some good pop in his bat.
I'd do $4 million and allow him to double up based on, reaching plate appearance incentives.
Sure.
I'd be happy to give him, if he hits 25 bombs with an 820 OPS, I would have no problem giving him 400 plate appearances and $8 million. You know what I mean? Or $6 million. Like, make them easily reachable, assuming he plays well, and go to town. And anytime that you can give someone incentives that they can reach because they're good, heck yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah, I agree. So I guess those are, if you want to just eliminate Lomo from the conversation, Nunez and Duda would probably be the two names to watch for me at this point forward on bats. But as you know, as most Twins fans likely see it, the bats are not my focus at this point in the offseason.
Well, and, I was looking at their middle infield, and we'll do that, and then we'll jump into these big-time free agents for the latter part of the show. But they're pretty weak up the middle in AAA. It's Gregorio Petit and Taylor Featherston. Are you looking to supplement that with a Nick Franklin, Cliff Pennington, Eric Ibar? I don't know. I mean,
are Taylor Featherston and Gregorio Petit real, or are they MLB The Show creative players?
They're real.
No, I know.
I mean, but they're
that,
real. I don't think they're real good, though. That's the issue.
No, that's how weak.
You know, if
that's
they're going to,
that's how weak it is.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to dip, let's just say Jorge Polanco goes down, they're probably going down to Double A and getting Nick Gordon and making room. I mean, Featherston. These guys are the Doug Bernier special. I don't think you're putting that guy on the 40 man. Again, I know you'd have Adrianza and Escobar who could start, but if you got a guy on the DL for a month, I think you want to take a month to look at Nick Gordon, don't you? Or is it too early to put him on the 40?
Well, no, they'll go to Nick Gordon. I mean, this is the same organization now, not to see people calling the shots, that called up Jorge Polanco from A-Ball instead of Ray Chang and Doug Bernier, right? So, like, the level that they're at doesn't necessarily matter at that point. Like, I'm not calling up Taylor Featherston if Nick Gordon is sitting at Double-A ready to go and we get a month's look at him.
Yeah, that's a break glass in emergency. Go get Cleet Thomas or...
Thomas, there
Logan,
you go.
Logan Schaefer. Eric Komatsu, that's the name I always come back to. Nobody remembers.
Eric Komatsu, wasn't he a Rule 5 pickup?
I think he was Rule 5 by someone else. And then after that all panned out, then the Twins went and got him. So
that's
anyway, that's enough for the Twins chatter. I'm sure people that are listening are going to want us to get to these big-time free agents. We are going to go from the bottom up. So get mentally prepared. Okay. For MLB trade rumors, free agent number 31, Jaime Garcia. They have him signing with the Royals, 2 years, $16 million. Now, keep in mind, these predictions were made before the offseason when, you know, the money was a little different, the expectations were a little different. I'm not saying that the Royals can't use Jaime Garcia at this point. But I'm not thinking that he's going to land with the Royals. Where did you land with Jaime Garcia?
I struggled with this one. I went with, just because this is a team I think that's going to look, just to kind of fill out their rotation with some middle back end types, the Baltimore Orioles.
Spoiler alert, that's who I have too.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
I write about the Orioles for Baltimore Sports and Life, and... when you look at their rotation right now, it's Kevin Gausman, it's Dylan Bundy, and then it's three wide open spots. And they've got some guys who are semi interesting. I'm trying to remember the name of the guy. Then they got Miguel Castro, and they had a guy come up last year who was semi interesting that gave him, I think, 60 innings of decent pitching. But let's see. I'm just gonna pull it up here because otherwise it's just gonna mess with me. Let's see. They gave Gabriel Inoue, so 37 and a third innings, actually, or 34 and two-thirds innings, only four starts. So 6.8 strikeouts per nine, 4.15 whip, 4.15 ERA, 1.36 whip. Not great shakes, but 24, he was going into his age 25 season now. So for a number five, you could do worse, but you really do got to fill in the front two spots. I'm looking at the tier of guys like Jaime Garcia, Trevor Cahill, Chris Tillman reunion, Jeremy Hellickson. I think they're going to probably want to sign at least two, if not three, of those guys, and I think Jaime Garcia is the perfect fit. Now, with that said, as I tweeted earlier today, do you have any interest in seeing Jaime Garcia play for the Twins as their number four starter?
I saw your tweet. I don't. I'd rather give Mejia a chance in the rotation there, or when it comes to it, the Gonsalves or Romero types.
Yeah.
I just Jaime Garcia doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Okay. Well, it's obviously
not
a universally held opinion, but 2 years, $16 million. I could see it. Again, though, if you're getting 30 starts of 4.00 ERA, I don't know if Mejia gives you that in 30 starts, and you're definitely not getting 180 innings unless he makes whatever 180 divided by four is, because he's good for about four innings per start before he comes unraveled. I don't know. I see a lot of potential in him, but then when I read scouting notes, people don't like his changeup, it sounds like, which to me I'm not sure about, because the swinging strike rate on it's good, but if he's only a fastball slider guy, then you might be looking at a reliever.
I'd rather give those back end innings to a Mejia or a Gibson rather than
Sleegers or a Jorge.
Yep, same thing. Rather than paying $8 million a year for Jaime Garcia, who I know is going to be a five on a good team.
Yeah, the problem, though, is I just don't know how long you can let guys flounder if you're going to be in the mix for a postseason spot but not guaranteed one. So just something to think
plenty
about.
Plenty of options down there, though.
Yeah, plenty of fish. Number 28, Neil Walker. They have Brewers, 2 years, $20 million. I have Brewers. I don't know about money. We don't even really need to discuss money at this point. But after all the moves they've made, you know, they've talked about Ryan Braun playing second base. I'm not buying that. Jonathan Villar, they seem to be kind of sour on, and I get that after how rough of a season he had last year. But, you know, for Walker, I think it's, you know, maybe the Mets. I don't know what their spending situation's like. But I'm thinking Brewers at this point, and maybe it's a one-year deal.
Yeah, I had Mets originally. I'm actually going to switch it up because I didn't know what to do with somebody else on this list, and so I'm kind of switching it around on the fly. I'm going to go Brewers too. It probably is a one-year deal, whether it's 1-9, 1-10.
I think 8 to 10, yeah, so it's pretty much right. The same ballpark.
Right. So, yeah, I think it's probably Brewers. Not someone that gets me too excited. The other teams I kicked around, like I said, were a Mets reunion, which I have them going with someone else on this list, who I think you'll have them going with as well.
Yep.
And then, or the Pirates, and I don't see a Pirates reunion at all, to be honest. I just threw that out there because you know he's played there before.
Yeah, they're trying to shed money with Harrison and stuff at this point. He would really have to take a lot less. So.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense.
I think I'm in agreement with you. Let's move on to number 27, Andrew Cashner, the wholly uninteresting righty who spent last year with the Rangers. The repertoire should be good. I don't have his velocity stuff in front of me, but I suspect there was some kind of decline. Good ERA, but just peripherals that were just really, really uninspiring. They have him going to Oakland, 2 years, $20 million. I have him with Baltimore. I have another Baltimore. So you're going Gausman, Bundy, Cashner, Garcia, and Inoue with, you know, a few other guys in the mix. That's not really that exciting of a rotation, but Baltimore's kind of painted themselves into this box. Who do you have Mr. Cashner landing with?
It's funny. I had the exact same thought process as you did. They're looking for a couple middle to back
rotation.
You
texted me your list, and I'm like, dude, save it for the podcast. I'm not going to steal your answers, but I'm like, save it. But I was running.
Well, I just, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It sounds like you did steal my answer. I had Cashner going to Baltimore. It's interesting. I had Cashner going to Baltimore. Kind of the same thought process as Jaime Garcia. And it's interesting to see how it's played out and note that Andrew Cashner was once the guy traded for Anthony Rizzo, which is
wasn't
insane.
Casey Kelly at one point too. I think,
yeah.
Speaking of prospects who, I think he's pitched in the big leagues, but just barely. Casey Kelly's one of those prospects that you're never fully certain exists. Speaking of the Orioles, so is, Hunter Harvey. There's just a few of these prospects, Max Fried, you know, the lefty that, I think he's at the Braves now, but I think he was Padres or, you know, but anyway, it is funny how some of these pitching prospects just never pitch and still wind up in the top 100 list. I think though Cashner makes a ton of sense for the O's. Now, here's an old friend, number 23, Carlos Gomez, the Go-Go, loose cannon, I think number one, if we were to ask Gardy. He called Gomez loose cannon one and Alexi Casilla loose cannon two. They had a Fox Sports North special where they lived together and were eating like plantains in one of their apartments or whatever. So they were pretty close. But anyway, former twin, spent the last, what, year and a half, 2 years and a half with the Rangers? I think it's, is it 2.5 now?
Yeah, I'm not sure on that.
They have
I
the Royals.
It
might be 1.5. 1.5 I think is right. So Royals, 2 years, $22 million. Not really seeing it. I just don't think the Royals need to put. Again, the Royals might think they should put money into free agency. They want to sign Hosmer, which makes no sense to me because they're going to stink. So I don't have the Royals in on Gomez. This is the one I think you were volleying with. I want you to tell your answer first because I'm pretty sure I do not have the same one as you.
Yeah, I don't think you do. I really didn't know what to do here. I just had I had him run it back with the Rangers. So I put Carlos Gomez back on the Rangers.
Well, that makes sense. I really don't know
where to place him here.
Well, if you have an outfield of Willie Calhoun and Carlos Gomez and Nomar Mazara, Delino DeShields as your fourth outfielder, and then Shin-Soo Chu as your DH / I don't know if he can play the outfield anymore. I think he's been kind of unhealthy. That's not the worst outfield. That's a pretty darn good outfield. I mean, Calhoun is going to rake. I don't think he's a very good left fielder. He's a converted second baseman, tells us a lot. But if you don't believe in DeShields, and I'm not positive that the Rangers do, that's not a bad choice. I went with the Braves, and because I just don't know if they want to start Lane Adams in left field. You know, I was looking at their depth chart. They got Nick Markakis in right. Markakis is just horrible. And so those two are flanking Ender Inciarte. I'm a big Ender fan. But you know, I think that I think he makes a ton of sense for the Braves if the Braves think they're going to be decent this year. I'm not sure. I don't have a good read on how good they think they're going to be this year, but you got to start surrounding Freddie Freeman with some good players. And I don't necessarily think Carlos Gomez is a great player at this point, but he's a pretty nice player for a, you know, $10 million per year. I'd have to give him a long and hard look in that spot. What do you think of that?
I don't know that I would give him $10 million a year with Ronald Acuna waiting in the wings to take that spot in the first place.
No, but I mean, Acuna on left and Gomez in right. That's a pretty good outfield with Inciarte, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, so you're not even thinking about Nick Markakis at that point.
I don't care about Nick Markakis at this point. I think he's a free agent after the year anyway, and you could probably you could probably flip him to the Orioles for their number 30 prospect, and they'd be happy to take him off your hands, because right now I think Joey Rickard and Austin Hayes are the starting right field options after Seth Smith became a free agent. He's not signed anywhere either that I know of. Now, he's a free agent. He's 35. I just don't think – I think Markakis stinks. I just don't think there's any use for him. So I think Gomez should sign with Atlanta. I think Acuna is going to be special. I'm really excited about him. The next up on the list, number 20, and I think the last standing catcher after Alex Avila inked a deal with the Diamondbacks. I don't know where Jonathan Lucroy is going to sign, honestly. They have Rockies, a Rocky reunion, 2 years, $24 million. The Rockies went out and signed Chris Iannetta. I'm not seeing Iannetta as necessarily a starting catcher, 120 games, but I think they view him as the guy there. I think they have Tony Walters behind him, so they probably feel pretty confident about that pair. And maybe Lucroy is just asking for too much money, and you know, he only put up numbers with Colorado, which is kind of a red flag. He was really bad before that with Texas. I got the Nationals. I know the Nationals signed Miguel Montero to a minor league deal today, and they have Matt Wieters. Excuse me, but Matt Wieters is awful. I mean, just awful. And so I would go get Lucroy. I think they're too good to have that bad of a catching situation. And so I'm going to get Lucroy from the Nats. What about you?
It's interesting. This is a guy I had no idea what to do with. I was down between Colorado, which I don't think it's going to be, because I think Iannetta and Walters is just fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'll pay him. And again, running it back with the Rangers, but Robinson Chirinos was pretty okay there last year.
What about
the A's? I was just gonna go there. I said so. I think my pick was gonna be the A's because they don't have much of a situation, and you might just end up falling into their lap.
Well, Maxwell's kind of a loose cannon, like literally aiming guns at pizza delivery people. Garneau and Josh Fegley just not really starting caliber guys.
No.
Sounds like the next guy that the A's will sign and then trade for a decent prospect on July 30th or something. So, yeah, if not the Nationals, I think the A's are a good fit. Number 17, Todd Frazier, still hanging out on the list, coming off playing with the Yankees last year. Low batting average, but good on base. He can still pick it a little bit over there. I think he can give you a little depth at first if you really want. I have him going to the Mets. I think you probably do too. I just don't think what's that?
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I just don't think they trust Jose Reyes. I know they brought him back, but it was a low base salary. I know they got him playing second base. They got Asdrubal Cabrera. You know, they could move Cabrera to short, sign Frazier, send Ahmed Rosario back to the minors for a little while. It's clear they don't have any idea what they're doing with Dominic Smith going back to the minors and Adrian Gonzalez starting. So I think they could delude themselves into thinking that they're going to be good enough to sign or to have another, you know, guy like Frazier. And especially if they miss out on Walker, because if Walker plays second, Reyes can play third, Cabrera can move back to short. At this point, though, I just don't think, you know, I think the Mets will sign him. I don't think it's necessarily a good fit for him, but I think that's probably where he'd fit the best.
Now, I've said over and over that that there's a bunch of guys on this list I wasn't sure what to do with. Todd Frazier was at the top of that list. I don't know what to do with this guy, because I had Neil Walker going back to the Mets at first, which would eliminate Todd Frazier with the Mets for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have Todd Frazier playing for the Nippon Ham Fighters next year.
Wow, that's
no, I don't. I'm just playing. I have him back with the Mets. I originally thought maybe bringing him back with the Yankees, but I have somebody else who I think is rather interesting going there. So I'm gonna give him to the Mets. Say 2 years, 14.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. They have 3 years, 33, but that was obviously many moons ago. So
yes.
No, that's not happening. Number 15, Logan Morris, and they have Red Sox 3 years, $36 million. There is no chance that $36 million is happening or 3 years. You know, they signed Mitch Moreland again. I don't know how happy they are to sit on him necessarily at first base, but I just don't see it. I think he's signing. I said the Rockies. I think it'd be a great place for him. Ian Desmond's probably going to play the outfield. I don't think they're ready to hand the keys over to Ryan McMahon quite yet at first base, and so I think Lomo's their guy.
I really shouldn't have texted you my list. It's amazing how much we've matched up here. The one thing I think is interesting about Lomo, I had him going to the Rockies as well.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I'll say, if Eric Hosmer does end up choosing the Padres, I think he makes a ton of sense in Kansas City.
No, I don't want to see him in the Central if it's not with the Twins.
Oh, I don't either. But
I think he's going to mash. I think those changes are fairly legit.
I have him going to Colorado as well. Part of that's wishful thinking. I'd love to see him in Coors.
Yeah,
so I hope that happens.
Yeah. I don't have a whole lot to add to that. I don't know what kind of clubhouse guy he's regarded as, because obviously the Twitter account was a little bit weird, to say the least. But yeah, I think he'd fit a lot of places as a bat for cheap with really good power. Alex Cobb, number 11. They have the Twins, 4 years, $48 million. I'm not sure much has been sliced off of that. It seems like he maybe wants more than that. I have him landing with the Cubs. I think the Cubs miss out on Darvish. We'll get to him at the end of the show. And then I think they circle back to the connection between Jim Hickey and Alex Cobb. Where'd you stand on that?
So much of this is like putting a puzzle together, specifically with these four starters.
Well, that's the thing. Not all the teams who are interested in Darvish are going to circle back to Cobb. They're not going to all circle back.
Right.
So it is kind of piecing it together. You know, if you think the Nationals are interested in one, they may only be interested in one of those guys, not all four.
Yep.
Whereas I think the Twins, you could argue all four make sense in some form or fashion.
Yeah. I have Alex Cobb, and this will kind of hopefully not give away my later answers. I have Alex Cobb signing with the Twins.
Yeah, reuniting with the analytics guy whose name escapes me right now.
Josh Kalk.
Yep, K-A-L-K, who was with the Rays before this, and then before that, Baseball Perspectives, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so I have Cobb with the Twins, and you can probably figure out my other answers later. But 4 years, $56 million. Ultimately, I think we lose out on Darvish to a different team who we'll get to later. And then circle back to Cobb. I think will be their second choice. Maybe not. He's my second choice, so I'm going to the Twins. I know Rhett Bollinger, I saw earlier this week, had said something that the Twins' interest in Cobb has been a bit overstated.
Okay.
But I like Alex Cobb, so I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, for me with him, it comes back to the changeup, which is where his swinging strike decrease came into play. That's a feel pitch, and as a guy gets further from Tommy John surgery, they get that feel back, and I think the changeup is going to be a big part of his repertoire. It's obviously a big part of it, but I think that's how he'll get back to who he was before. Obviously, some durability issues, never made 30 starts, never thrown 180 innings. If he had done either of those things more than once, he'd be talking about a much bigger contract. Greg Holland, number 10. They have Cardinals, 4 years, $50 million. I'm not sure any of that's still on the table. Put me down for the Texas Rangers, who actually have Alex Claudio set up as their closer right now. I'm just not buying Claudio as their closer. I think they go Greg Holland. I think the Cardinals make sense. I think I thought the Cubs made sense. I still don't know that it's that far-fetched if they don't spend money on starting pitching, which I think they should. But I don't know. I'm not sure how good I think Greg Holland is after last year with the Rockies, but you know, he's going to get paid. That's for sure. I'm gonna take Texas.
That's an interesting one. Not one I had considered, but an interesting one. I have him going to the Cardinals, MLB Trade Rumors does.
Yep.
Certainly not for 4 years, $50 million. Maybe 3 years, 36. Maybe
That's pretty sane for a closer contract, though.
Yeah, I mean, but as you get further into this offseason, I just don't see how he's going to get upwards of – I don't think he's going to get 4 years for sure.
How many of these guys do you think wish had taken the qualifying offer in retrospect?
Oh, Holland for sure.
Yeah. Maybe not. But maybe not a lot of these guys, but I'd say probably two or three, if they could do it in, as a revisionist, would probably take the qualifying offer if they were given the choice.
Well, if you are our next guy on the list, Lance Lynn, would you have taken the QO?
Yeah, I'd want one more year in that situation, working with their departments. Obviously, they're good at developing pitching. Look at Jack Flaherty and Luke Weaver and all these guys coming up now. Alex Reyes, can't forget about him. They've got a very good infrastructure for pitching. And so to have my second year back from Tommy John surgery, you know, the year that you're supposed to improve the most, I'd absolutely take the QO if I was Lance Lynn at this point in the offseason, if I was given that option.
I agree.
And they say 4 years, $56 million with the Rangers. I say Minnesota Twins. I think they cycle back. I love Lance Lynn as the personality. There's a YouTube videos out there of him in his post-game press conferences. He seems a little bit deliberately dumb. I think he just kind of dumbs it down a little bit, but he is hilarious. The kind of guy I'd love to get to know as a journalist. You know, I've had good conversations with Phil Hughes in the same vein. Very self-deprecating, but just good guys to have around the clubhouse. I feel like Lance Lynn would be a great fit for this team, and so I think the Twins locked that down. Maybe a three-year deal would be preferable, but that's the guy for me.
Okay, so you say Lance Lynn. Before I get to my pick, Lance Lynn to the Twins, I want to hear it. Give me the contract. Give me the terms.
If he insists on that fourth year and will take it as an option, I'd probably do $3.45 million with a fourth-year option that vests at $18 million. Because he's not going to take a shorter deal unless it's more money. You know, I don't think he's taking $3.36 million or $3.42 million. You know, that's what $3.42 million, wasn't that Chatwood? Something like that? So he's going to want more than Chatwood. He's a better pitcher than Chatwood, there's no question. So I think $3.45 million with an option, or maybe the Irvin Santana deal, like a $4.54 million or something like that?
Irvin was $4.54 million with a $1 million buyout, so $4.55 million.
Yeah, so where are you at with that?
On Lynn, yeah, I would do that deal, and that's exactly, I was thinking 15 AAV for 3 years with a team option for 15 for the fourth year. Thing option makes sense.
Yeah, well, you might have to go more money. I mean, if it's the same amount of money, I don't know if he takes it.
Right. So on Lance Lynn, though, I mentioned this a lot of this being puzzle pieces. So if the Twins do miss out on Darvish and they don't go Cobb, then I think Lynn's their guy.
Yep.
Obviously, I had them going Cobb, so I have Lance Lynn to the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, and I think that's a reasonable pick. I know they need depth with Joe Ross, you know, not necessarily quite getting where they want him to get to. And they are, let's see, Gio Gonzalez will be a free agent after next year. They're going to have some holes to fill. And so I think that's a good pick. One of the guys we've heard the least about this offseason, Mike Moustakas, MLB Trade Rumors has the Braves. I also have the Braves because right now they have, I think it's Johan Camargo penciled in. I just don't see that happening. I didn't think Braves at the beginning of the offseason. I just don't know why I didn't make that connection. I thought Angels made a lot of sense with trying to surround Mike Trout with talent, but their idea of the all shortstop infield is kind of brilliant too, or the all gold glove infield is phenomenal.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, so I think Braves. I think Braves. What do you think for Moose?
So when I'm going to go a different route. First of all, is Johan Camargo real or MLB The Show creative player?
I think he's on the 40-man roster. I don't know if that answers. I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah, is Yeah. It's kind of funny. I had to write up Adonis Garcia for Fangraphs Plus, and he was the guy who played third base for them the last 2 years. And I said that he's got the name of a Greek god of like beauty or something. But he's built like a brick bleep house. We don't swear on this podcast, and even Josh Kuznick in the last show, I had to bleep out a bunch of stuff he said. But yeah, he's got the name of a Greek god, but he's built like a brick, you know, ass house. And I think Moustakas is the guy to take over at third base. It's a risky move. I don't think he's going to get $100 million like he was hoping for, but if he gets a four-year deal for 60 to 70, I think that's still a pretty good deal for him.
I'm going to – this is the one sort of different take that I have. I think it's going to be a one-year deal for Moose, and I think he's going to the Bronx.
Go play for the Nip and Ham Fighters? No, I'm
The Nip and Ham Fighters.
You know what? If he's gonna get bounce back value, New York is the perfect place. I mean, short porch, team that's going to absolutely maul pitchers this year. I mean, Stanton's going to hit 60 homers, and so there's no question that's a good fit. So I dig it. I totally dig it.
Well, and it's ridiculous though that the guy had the best year of his career at the age of 29. 38 homers, and he's going to take a one-year prove-it deal. So, and yes. it very well might happen.
This isn't Chris Carter. This isn't Logan Morrison necessarily. It's the guy who's been pretty good for a while. But the knee injury hurts him. You know, the collision with Gordon, which basically ruined that season for both those guys. That sucks, man. All right, we got to keep it moving along. I got to go get the baby from daycare here pretty soon. Jake Arrieta. Number four, and we got number 4, 3, 2, and 1, all still available. Moustakas is number 6, and Lance Lynn was number 9. So we are very quickly narrowing in on the top 4 who have all not moved yet. Arrieta, Brewers, 4 years, $100 million. I would not have concurred on that until the Yelich and the Lorenzo Cain deals came down. Now I think they're in it to win it. They want to stick it to the Cubs by going and getting Arrieta. Book it. I think Brewers, Arrieta, it gets done.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. This is going to be upsettingly chalk from me at the end. I got Brewers, Arrieta, 4 years, $88 million.
I think that that's about the neighborhood, or 80 plus some incentives. I think that $20 million mark is the mark he needs to be at, whether it's I wouldn't call it a narcissist thing, but $20 million is that number he needs to exceed. And if that deal was going to get it done a year ago at this time, I think he signs it with the Cubs. I think the Cubs would have been happy to give him 4 years and $80 million or $88 million one calendar year ago. And both he and John Lester had down years and came at a bad time. Number 3, Eric Hosmer, Royal, 6 years, $132 million, MLB trade rumors says. I really don't think he wants to play for the Padres. I think he's using the Padres. Who wouldn't want to live in San Diego and make $100 million? Don't get me wrong. But I think he just wants the Royals to be in the ballpark and he'll go back to them. I mean, he's already got the blue glove. You know what I mean? The blue defensive glove. He's like Juan Guzman. He wants to go back to the Royals.
I don't think the Royals should sign him.
It doesn't make any sense.
But
the Gordon move didn't make sense either. You know?
No. I don't think they should pay him. I think they should move on. I think they should embrace kind of their rebuild.
He's the difference between 72 wins this year and about 75 or 77. You know, they are going to be below 500. Write it down. Quote tweet me. Don't at me. Don't tread on me. Whatever. They're going to win fewer than 80 games this year.
And I agree. And they're going to sign Eric Hosmer to a deal that is too much money.
5 years and $100 million. He's not going to get his 8 years.
I have 5, 120.
You really that's pushing it. I just don't know if they'll give him 120. Maybe 110. Which is what, 22? I can see $22 million. I don't think he's worth it. Too many grounders.
No.
If he could get the lift, he's the first base version of Christian Yelich.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, no, 5-120 is too much because I have another guy on this list getting 5-120, and I would give that to Hosmer.
Is that JD Martinez number 2 on the list?
It's not.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, I've got Boston signing him. The 6 years, 150. I don't know that that's going to happen, but I think it's a stalemate between him and Boston at this point, and there's just nobody else, really. I don't think the Diamondbacks are going to try to bring him back, and I don't know. It's just that this free agent market has been bananas.
It's Boston, and I think it's going to be somewhere around the 5-year, 100 offer that's been floated. I think eventually he's going to have to take it. That's kind of what's been reported. Maybe 5 years, 105, maybe 110. But when it comes down to it, we're 3 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting. Like, people are going to have to start signing here.
Yeah.
And $100 million is nothing to sneeze at. So.
Yep. I think it just comes down to pride.
Yep. So, JD Martinez, Red Sox.
Last and the opposite of least, Yu Darvish. They have the Cubs 6-160. I don't think it's going to be more than 150 at this point. I think the Dodgers move some things around. I think it's probably Yasmani Grandal, who's probably got the most value, impending free agent. next year. They can put Austin Barnes back there. So I got Dodgers. I got Dodgers getting Darvish. Who do you got?
I have the Cubs, and I have in my head, it just feels like it's going to be something that's upsettingly low to the point where the Twins probably outbid it.
If it's 5-125 or lower, I will be very, very surprised if the Twins hadn't matched that.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yep. I have it at 5-120. I have them going to the Cubs. I have the Twins matching it or outbidding it.
And
the,
he
but
still
at the
wants
end of
them.
The day, you Darvish wanting to play for the Cubs. That's I have no inside info. This is just a hunch.
Yep.
And it's going to be very upsetting if that's the case.
I would offer.
I think they'll make every effort.
I would offer a 6-year vesting at $30 million.
Yep.
For 350 innings over the last 2 years, because he's not throwing. Yep. 175 innings in years 4 and 5 of that deal, unless he's putting up an ERA of 3.50 or less, or has Tommy John surgery at any point and it just messes him up. So I'm giving him that 6th-year option if that's what it takes. So
yep, I would too. I'd want to get him in Twins uniform. Ultimately, though, I don't think they're going to go to that 6-year vesting. I think he winds up a Cub.
Well, that's all we got for this episode. I want to thank you, Ryan, for coming on at 2_CANEZ on Twitter. Let's do this again real soon. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's do this hopefully in a couple of weeks when maybe some free agents have signed.
Yeah, that sounds
maybe.
Yeah. You've been listening to Midwest Swing, part of the Zone Coverage Podcast.